Zena, I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to Zena Nuber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who've been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode 94. This podcast shows for all the Zena and Uber subtext stories that are out there that had not been given a voice. So welcome everyone. I hope everyone is doing very well. I, myself, and my partner are doing quite well. So let's get into the show and get started with all the news. All right, as you can tell by the turning of the pages, it is our famous book review, book recommendation, book profile, just multiple book something. And so anyway, in this week's one, we're going to have a different one sent in to us by a lovely young lady who I can't pronounce her name because it's in Norwegian and the last thing I want to do is kill it. So I'm going to actually do it in her nickname that she gave me. Her name is Faye. And she sent in a different story. Once again, it's not, you know, not always altogether a genre that always fits us. But this book is called Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West by Gregory Maguire. And it's a different take on the Oz story. And in the description it says, when Dorothy triumphed over the Wicked Witch of the West in L. Frank Baum's classic tale, we heard only her side of the story. But what about her arch nemesis, the mysterious witch? Where did she come from? How did she become so wicked? And what is the true nature of evil? Gregory Maguire creates a fantasy world so rich and vivid that we will never look at Oz the same way again. Wicked is about a land where animals talk and strive to be treated like first-class citizens. Munchkinlanders seek the comfort of middle-class stability, and the Tin Man becomes a victim of domestic violence. And then there is the little green-skinned girl named Alfalfa, who grows up to be the infamous Wicked Witch of the West, a smart, prickly, and misunderstood creature who challenges all our preconceived notions about the nature of good and evil. And she said that it's she loved the book from the very first page, and you'll either love it or hate it, but it's also the basis of the hit musical Wicked, which I personally want to go see. I can't wait for it to come up to a closer city. But it's not a book for everyone, and like she says, it's either one you love it or you hate it. So check it out. Wicked is the first book in the series, which is now called The Wicked Years. The next ones are Son of a Witch and A Lion Among Men. So if you have read it, send me an email, tell me what you thought of it. And if you haven't, go out and get it. It'll be something interesting for you to read.
Bring her around! We're going to join them.
Well, over on the official Lucy Lawless fan club site, Sharon's put up a wealth of information regarding a few things that are happening. And most of you are heading overseas for the Xena convention, which I envy you, you naughty little monkeys. Bitch Slap at Newark. Filmmakers and cast members in person on Saturday the 9th at 7:30 and 10 p.m. And then on January 12th, Good Day L.A. And then on January 7th, which obviously has passed, was the Lucy on NPR Radio. And I'll have a link on my show notes to that. I actually had someone send me in a link where you can listen to it on the pod show. And it's a radio show where it says, wait, wait, don't tell me, not my job. And on January 22nd, Lucy will appear on Regis and Kelly and also on The Today Show. And on January 19th, Stars will screen the Spartacus premiere at the theaters listed below, which I'll check it over at lucylawlessfanclub.com, and it'll have a list of all the different theaters in California where it will premiere. So a wealth of information over there, and check it on out. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick update with what's been going on with me, myself, and I, and my lovely partner. As You all know about the ongoing saga with the insurance company, and the last time I told you that I did send off that letter after they decided to send us a premium. Well, that Friday, I received the phone call, and it was from the, what would you call it, the underwriters, and they were, you know, very apologetic that we had to go through everything, and they were going to forward on the letter. And then I did receive a call from the customer service manager, profusely apologizing for everything that we had gone through, and she was actually quite shocked as to everything that had happened and some of the things that I actually mentioned that we actually went through. And she would say that she couldn't guarantee anything, obviously, because she was not the finance manager, but that she was going to get a hold of the finance manager premium guru, that the case may be, because she couldn't give us assurances as she was the customer service manager. And that they would be discussing our case and looking forward to giving us some recompense for everything that we went through. And she assured us that we would be getting a phone call, or I would be getting a phone call. Well, needless to say, that didn't eventuate. I did get a phone call, though, about a week later. No, about, yeah, about a few days later, about Monday, from the... Helen again, from the lady who wrote, called me the first time, and she had talked to the finance premium manager, and he had assured her that, yes, the claims department had called me, and everything was hunky-dory, and that they were willing to offer us a 5% discount. Now, when she told me 5%, I dropped my phone, and my jaw fell almost to the floor. And I was like, excuse me, can you come again, say again, because I really didn't understand that what you said. And she said, oh, you know, that they were willing to give us 5%. And I said, listen, not for nothing, but I said, why am I even talking to you? I said, I was assured that I was going to be called by this individual. And here I am talking with you. So once again, the company's failing in what they've promised. And to be quite honest, 5% does nothing to quell my fears. I mean, 5% is $7. What do I care about that when you're still charging me over $338 more than what the average cost is? And she goes, well, he explained that the premiums have gone up because of the so many claims and everything. And I said, look, I can assure you I understand the economic situation that's going on, but you've got to be joking. And so she's like, look, I'll pass this on to my manager and stuff. So that was on the Friday, and then on the Monday I received the call from her manager, and she was, look, I understand that you have this concern. And so I was like, yeah, you're absolutely correct that I do have this concern, but I'm not going to accept that. I said, everything I went through, and you're going to give me 5% as you know, an understanding. She goes, well, look, I've actually talked to the underwriter and the finance manager, and we've gone ahead and buckled it down to 10%. And I'm like, and at this point, I was actually in the new insurance company's lobby. My partner and I were actually sitting in the lobby of the new insurance company, as we had gotten a quote from the new insurance company, and they were, with an increase on coverage and protection, almost $35 less a month than what this company was charging us. And I said, look, you know, you can give me all the insurances you want, but you've left a really rotten taste in my mouth, and this goes to show you how much, you know, you care about customer service. We're just the business. We're not you have no customer service. And she goes, look, here's my mobile number. Please talk with your partner, think it over, and let me know. You know, you can call me direct. This is my cell phone number. You can call me and stuff. And I will be having the technical department contact you and stuff. And I was like, look, let me talk with her and see what she says. But, you know, I'm not very happy at the moment. And I sat down and I shut the phone off, and I looked at my partner, and I just said, you know what? Just do it. Just get this over and done with. So we signed on with the new company, and I told Julia, I said, you call her back, because I really don't think I should be talking to these people anymore, because more than likely I'll say a few choice words, and I really don't want to do that professionally, because that lady has nothing to do with it. It's out of her hands, to be quite honest, and my anger is not to be vented at her. So she called and canceled and said, look, you know, effective as of this date, we're not going to be renewing your policy with you. And the lady she talked to was Helen, and Helen was like, look, I understand, and I apologize for everything you've gone through. And I was like, whatever, you know, but it's not over, it's not done with. I am going to follow it up with the Better Business Bureau, and also with possibly a current affair, just to let them know that these people are really rorting people by saying that, you know, because of the rate increase overall, that things have gone up, and they're just taking advantage of people, because this new company that I'm with, they said, yes, the rates did go up, but even with new coverage and everything, they wouldn't have gone up that much. And so it'll be quite interesting. So stay tuned. We'll see how it goes. On the other thing, as you could tell, I got quite great pleasure out of it. So if anything, it's almost $500 worth of me just sitting there shaking my head and laughing my butt off. But I'm back to, I'm back up to my running. So I went up and got up at 5 o'clock in the morning the other day to go for my run. Now, mind you, at 5 o'clock in the morning now, it's still pitch black outside. So I'm dressed, I'm ready to go, and I'm out the door, and I start doing my walking to warm up a little bit before I actually start my running. And I'm sitting there going, it's pitch black out here. Not even the bats are out anymore. So what the hell am I doing out running? But look, by the time I turned, you know, went all the way down and turned around and came back, it had started to, the sun was starting to come up, and you just have that early morning cool breeze and just the crisp air, and you just see a beautiful, magnificent day coming in, and I was grateful for that in itself. So it's all good, and hopefully by April I should have the sponsor site up so that everyone can start making donations for me to raise money for the cancer run that I'm going to do, because I've decided that I'm going to raise funds to help for the cause of cancer. So we'll, as we go along, you know, I'll keep you in tune with that. So let's get into the show and rock on.
Come and get.
All right, and before we get any further in, the song you hear on this week's show is Madonna's Ray of Light. As you know, that's an oldie but a goodie. I decided to actually use that one for this week's show. And I don't have a movie review for this week, so we're going to skip right over that and get right into the show. A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good, Chapter 10, Part 10.
Still, she will have to wait and be tried,
the officer stated for the third time.
It's the law. The council must judge her.
Xena tried very hard to keep the lid on her temper. The urge to simply rip the man's arms off and use them as levers to get inside the formidable prison was almost too great. She'd arrived minutes after the fight had ended, just after the Athenian guard had taken Gabrielle into their custody, having had Warren sworn by all the men there that she attacked them for no cause. One look at the smug, self-satisfied faces had come very close to triggering her temper, and maybe her expression had shown it.
That'll end their messing with us,
she heard the muttering as she left the square and headed for the prison. It was probably, she granted, very true, but the significance of that put against the fact that her soulmate was locked inside those horrible stone walls, was exactly nothing. Athens could rot in war and be slaughtered to a man for all she cared.
She's innocent!
The officer rolled his eyes, having heard it all before.
She was protecting an innocent man!
Xena tried another tact.
She was interfering with the discipline of a slave,
the man replied, bored.
That is also against the law.
Xena paced, aware of the superior, amused looks on the guards around her.
The law is the law,
the officer stated blandly. The warrior stopped and reflected on that.
All right.
She turned, moving forward and resting her fists on his desk, leaning on them and fixing him with an icy stare. He obtained that slave illegally.
Impossible.
The man pushed a piece of parchment over.
Here is the contract.
The slave was under contract to me, Xena overrode the speech, and I didn't release him. The officer considered that, rubbing his jaw with one hand. The men around the room shifted a little.
She still attacked our citizens.
Gabrielle has never attacked anyone in her life unless she was defending herself, Xena objected.
Who says they didn't start it?
They said they did not.
What did Gabrielle say? Xena asked. The man shrugged.
We couldn't ask her.
The situation suddenly changed. Why?
She was unconscious. We took statements of those around, and they assured us she started the fight. They were just... Urk!
Xena had reached across his desk and grabbed him by the throat, pulling him upright and jerking his body clear across the table. An entire crowd of men with sticks and one little unconscious woman, and you think it was all her fault? The man shrugged uncomfortably. You're going to open that door and let me in there, Xena stated.
The law says she must be held for the council.
I don't care about the law, the warrior told him. Either you open that door, or I'll start cutting body parts off every stupid son of a buckeye in this room and leave you with mortal legal problems you won't be able to sort out unless Hades helps you. Dory chose that moment to hiccup, her eyes wide as she watched everything. The man stared at the baby, then at Xena's set, feral, furious face.
Rantus, open the door!
Xena released him, watching him slide to the floor. Then she stepped around him and walked to the huge, metal-strapped wooden door and waited while the nearest guard opened it. I'm going to be knocking on this to come out. If you're smart, you'll open it up again. The guard gazed impassively at her for a moment. Then his eyes dropped and he stepped back, opening the door and letting her go past. Dory was sucking her thumb, one hand clutching Xena's neck. They passed through the entrance and into a nightmare. Gabrielle was chiefly aware of everything pretty much hurting, as she slowly crawled her way back towards consciousness. She felt bruised from head to foot, and several places had sharper pains, including her head, her belly, and her face, where the whip had struck her. It was dark where she was, and it stank horribly. Under her fingers, she could feel greasy straw and hard stone, and she had to stifle a groan as she was forced her head to lift away from it.
Gabrielle!
The voice was vaguely familiar. The bard's brow creased. She rolled over, squinting in the gloomy darkness, towards the sound.
Yes?
Blessed be the gods. It is you.
The voice gasped.
I had but one glimpse as they opened your cell. It's me. It's Homer.
Homer? What are you doing here?
Gabrielle could feel her words slurring as the pain made her short of breath.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
Her old friend groaned.
Bet I would.
Gabrielle let her eyes close.
Let me guess. Some nasty old wannabe bard wench got you tossed in here because you were going to mess up her plans to take over the academy.
There was utter, absolute silence for a very long time.
Did I leave something out?
Gabrielle mumbled.
Great Athena, you truly are an oracle.
Homer responded in a hushed tone. Gabrielle just snorted faintly.
Are you hurt?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Gabrielle took silent inventory.
Everything.
She admitted weakly. Even breathing hurt, though she was pretty sure she hadn't broken anything. Her head hurt the worst, a deep throbbing that made it hard to think and upset her stomach. Carefully, she lifted a hand and touched the welt from the whip, which crossed her face from just above her right eye to her jawline.
Ow.
I wish I could help you.
Homer fretted.
These damn cells. I've been around and around every inch for the last 2 moons, and they're tighter than one of Athena's drums.
Ugh.
Gabrielle put her head down on her outstretched arm, then sucked in a breath as she heard rustling nearby and soft squeaking. It made her struggle upright, pushing her head away from the source of the noise, and the gods only knew what else lay in the straw under her. Just a thought made her itch. She got to a sitting position and pulled her legs in, crossing them under her and letting her head rest against her hands. It was hard to think. Every time she tried, her focus went on how much she was hurting and the struggle to control her twisting stomach.
Ooh.
Her voice broke, and she waited for her guts to settle.
Where's the door?
Up there.
Dumbly, Gabrielle lifted her head up and looked up. Barely seen in the shadows, there was a darker square in the ceiling. So far over her head, she wondered if even her soulmate could reach it with one of her leaps.
Bleh.
She rubbed her face.
How do you get out?
You don't,
Homer told her grimly.
I haven't left this cell since they dropped me in it. I've seen...
He hesitated.
Some fine other ways out.
He finished awkwardly. Gabriel thought about that. They killed themselves, you mean?
Yes.
The bard closed her eyes again. Now she wished she had taken Effany up on her offer to accompany her back to the game's quarters. She brushed the regent's concern off lightly, convinced she was more than capable of taking care of herself.
Yeah, right.
Gabriel sighed heavily. Now what? She couldn't depend on anyone coming in here to get her out, could she? Her brow creased, and she clamped her jaw shut in a wave of nausea. Oh yeah, like Zita wouldn't, right? Just like the old days, Gabriel muttered under her breath. I get myself into trouble, and she has to haul my butt out of it.
What was that, Gabriel? Did you say something?
Homer asked. Nothing important, the bard said.
Did that she-whore get you too?
Her old friend asked.
Is that why you're here?
No. Gabriel winced as the pain started to build, making it hard to breathe. I got into a fight.
A fight? You? I thought you always talked your way out of things.
Gabriel considered that in quiet reflection. Could she have talked her way out of this? Had she even thought about doing that? No. She just reacted to him hitting her. She felt a sense of disappointment in herself that only intensified the pain. At least, she considered miserably, there was no way for it to get any worse than this. A loud rumble broke the eerie silence. Sounds of wood cracking and steel scraping against stone. Gabriel lifted her head and peered up, seeing the bare shadows over her head. There was a huge bang, then the sound of rope being parted. And then all of a sudden, the trap in the top of her cell swung down far too quickly, banging against the top of the stone roof, and sending a shower of things she really didn't want to think about all around her. Most of them scurried off. Then the light was blocked by two falling bodies, intertwined, and they hit with a crack of breaking bone. One figure bounced up and lifted a sword, but the other didn't move, and after a moment, the heavily breathing survivor turned away. Even in the darkness, she knew that body's profile, and a soft cry of relief escaped her.
You all right?
Zina asked. Gabriel realized she was crying. No. She managed to get out, lifting a hand as a moment later, Zina's presence surrounded her, and she was cradled in gentle arms.
Mama!
The bard inhaled.
Dory, what? See, how?
I couldn't check her at the door. Lay down, here, against me.
Gabriel tried to calm her rapid breathing.
See, we're...
I know. Lay still, sweetheart. Please.
Zina lifted her and cuddled her against her chest.
Easy now.
Hurt?
Yeah, I know. Zina's voice was worried. Just try to relax.
Hold me,
the bard whispered.
Don't leave me.
Never. Zina reassured her gently. We'll get you out of this. I promise you.
Gabriel's eyes fluttered close, and her body slumped to get Zina's.
Boo. Mama, owie.
Dory warbled.
Yeah, I know, sweetie. Just be quiet, okay?
Zina exhaled.
I gotta figure out a way to get us out of here.
Homer cleared his throat gently.
When you do, mind taking me, too?
The warrior glared at the latticework, separating them from the next cell.
Who are you?
She asked sharply.
Homer.
Zina rolled her eyes invisibly.
Figures.
There was an awkward silence as the warrior shifted a little and tried to make Gabriel a little more comfortable.
You're Zina?
How'd you guess?
That's what Gabriel was calling you.
Homer murmured.
Is that really a baby you have with you?
Yes.
The warrior answered in a clipped tone.
Yours?
Ours.
Homer digested this.
Wow.
He muttered.
Bet that would make a good story.
Zina ignored him, concentrating on gently feeling the pulse fluttering in Gabrielle's throat, and listening to her slightly labored breathing.
Me leave you? She whispered softly into the bard's ear. You don't even think about leaving me, okay?
A rat scuttled by them.
Boo!
Dory pointed.
Guff!
No.
Zina kicked the rat across the cell.
Bad.
She chipped her head back and looked up, where the portal gate they fought over
swung slightly, its hinges creaking in the gloom. Very bad. Xena sat back for a moment and took stock of her situation. It wasn't good. She hadn't expected things to be this bad, or Gabrielle to be so severely injured. In fact, Leroya focused her vision in the gloom and studied the still face. She could see a red welt across her partner's cheek, and she brushed her fingers over it tenderly, knowing how much it must have hurt her. Anger warred with anxiety in her chest, making her heartbeat erratic. Xena felt her hand shake in reaction, and she had to pause, forcing herself to take deep breaths to regain control over raging emotions that were making muscles inside her twitch and seize. She wanted to kill whoever had done this, whoever had hurt her gentle soulmate, who had only been defending the life of an innocent, with the honest courage that was much a part of her as her green eyes and sunny smile. Above her, she heard sounds approaching, though, and realized she was running out of time. She needed to get Gabrielle out of the stinking pit, for starters, and then find a way out of the prison. With a soft sigh, she stood, lifting Gabrielle in her arms as she moved across the floor and gazed up the still-swinging trap.
"Hurry up!"
A man's voice floated down.
"Get that hook over here! Close the door!"
The warrior's eyes widened as she realized the intent. With a soft oath, she knelt and set the bar down, reaching round and grabbing Dory's sack and unstrapping it.
"Boo! Go, Mama!"
Dory wiggled in her hands. "No." The warrior carefully rebuckled the strap, this time around her neck, so the baby was just under her chin. "Dory, just be still, please."
"Boo!"
The sound of footsteps approaching got louder, and several male voices cursed. A loud bang made Xena look up, to see a hook extending down, to grab the latticed trap cover. Her heartbeat surged, as she turned and carefully picked up Gabrielle. She stood and looked up, then surged into motion, lifting the barred slumped form up and sliding across her broad shoulders before she bound over and underneath the trap.
"Hey!"
Homer yelled.
"What about me?"
Xena crouched. "You couldn't follow me anyway," she told him. The hook found its purchase, with a scrape of metal against wood.
"Hurry up! Pull! Quick now!"
"Sure I can,"
Homer argued desperately, as a torch flared and the cells were lit with eerie light from above.
"Sorry."
Xena gathered all her strength, deepened a crouch, then shoved away from the ground with the force of her powerful legs. She soared upward, her hands brushing, then taking hold of the rope dangling from the trap. The hook pulled backwards, and she was jerked in midair as her arms and shoulders took not only her weight, but Gabrielle's as well. For a second, her hand slipped on the rope. Then she clamped down, gritting her teeth as her body swung through the air and put almost unbearable strain on her shoulders.
"Throw it! Knock her down!"
the voice above her shouted.
"Better hope you do,"
Xena growled back as she inched her way up the rope.
"'Cause if I get up there, you're dead men."
She sensed something coming at her, and she ducked in pure instinct, feeling heat as a torch just missed her, plunging down into the cell and clattering on the floor. She heard the crackle of the flames eagerly feeding on the filthy straw and cursed,
"Idiot!"
The swinging door was making it harder to keep her grip. She could feel them trying to tug the wood up and throw her off, and she looked up, getting a glimpse of ugly, scarred faces and angry eyes. Another missile came down, this one smacking her on the side of the head. She butted it away and heard it fall as she reached the top of the rope. Now the hard part. She had to let go of the rope and grab the lattice while it was moving, while she was under attack, while she had Gabrielle on her shoulders and Dory hanging from her neck. She sucked in a deep breath and pulled her legs up, getting a hold with both boots on the very end of the rope. With a surge of effort, she released the rope with her hands and threw herself upward, reaching out with both hands extended towards the wooden gripwork of the trap door. A stick slammed into one wrist, numbing it. Xena felt splinters against her palm, and she clamped her hands down tight, her weight sending the trap swinging wildly and pulling the metal hook right out of the hands of the man holding it. She held on for dear life, praying to the gods that her strength would hold.
"Boo! Fun!"
Dory burbled, completely unconcerned.
"Quick! Go fly!"
Xena bit the inside of her lip, then made a decision and let her weight swing the trip back, gaining momentum as she swung. Now a pole smashed against her shoulder, but she ignored it, waiting for the door to swing its further extent, to give her every bit of momentum
so that when she released her hands and kicked outwards towards the door's surface and willed herself upwards through the roughly square opening and into the angry crowd above her.
Get her! Throw her back down! Hurry!
Xena grabbed the edge of the opening as she cleared it and pressed herself up and over its lip, getting her boots under her and leaping up over the heads of the four men, closing in on the now empty space. She half flipped over, her hand securing Gabrielle's limp body, and landed on the other side of them. Whirling, she roundhouse kicked the first two and sent them tumbling down into the now firelit cell. They screamed in reaction as the flames licked at them, but she was busy taking care of the other two with additional well-placed kicks, running footsteps, yelling. A half dozen others charged at her from a corridor, as the firelight threw shadows everywhere from below. Freeing her sword was out of the question. Xena quickly scanned the area and decided, bolting for a nearby dark hallway, and turning as she reached it, skidding to a halt and catching the first of her pursuers in the chest. She shoved them backwards, sending him piling into the rest of the guards and knocking them down. Then she whirled and took off, scraping a shoulder on the wall as she ducked down the first side corridor and headed for a door at the far end. Xena heard the sound of her pursuit as she reached the door, and she pulled the latch up, throwing herself against it only to find it locked. With a savage oath, she stepped back, feeling the vibration of feet running behind her. Something came at her back, and she ducked instinctively as an axe whirled over her head and hit the door. Out of time again. She faced the door and took two steps forward, launching her body into space and slamming the surface with both feet. With a crack, the door gave way and she stumbled inside. Turning and slamming it closed as a volley of crossbow bolts hit the other side. It was quiet inside and lit with four torches. The store in this room was clean and boxes were piled everywhere. Storeroom. Xena got behind a stack of heavily-looking wooden crates and shoved against them, digging her boots into the floor and straining her entire body as they creaked into motion. With a heavy scrape of wood against stone, they slid laboriously against the door just as bodies piled in from the other side. Xena paused with her hands against the boxes until she heard frustrated banging on the other side. Then she exhaled in relief and turned, dropping to her knees in the straw and carefully lifting Gabrielle's body off her aching shoulders. She set the bar down as she heard a soft moan from her.
Hey.
Pale green eyes fluttered open, dazedly tracking to her face. Xena stripped Dory's bag off her and set the toddler down.
Dory, stay here.
Dory crawled over to where her mother was and sat down, patting the barred slate with a small hand.
Mama?
Dory rolled her head to one side.
Hey, honey.
She rasped hoarsely.
You okay? Mama, Buko fly. I know, sweetie. Mama's seasick from it.
Gabrielle joked wanly, one hand reaching out for her soulmate.
Are we okay now?
Xena looked up from her task of checking a partner's injury and reviewed their situation.
Not really,
she admitted.
We're in a dead end, but at least it's clean, light, and dry here.
She gently unbuckled the bard's tooled leather belt and winced at the dark bruise that extended down to her groin.
What are we going to do?
I don't know yet.
Gabrielle gazed up at the profile, gilded in the torchlight, seeing the deep worry in the warrior's furrowed brow and feeling the faint trembling in her hands.
See?
After a moment, pale blue eyes lifted and met hers.
Thanks for coming after me,
Gabrielle whispered. Xena's lips twitched a little.
Wish I'd been just a little sooner.
She carefully smoothed the bard's pale hair back off her forehead.
Gabrielle...
I'm hurt pretty bad, huh?
Xena studied her in unhappy silence.
It hurts a lot,
the bard uttered.
And my vision keeps going all blurry.
Her fingers tightened on Xena's.
And it's kind of hard to breathe.
Mama?
Dory inched closer.
Mama, owie.
Yes, sweetie.
Gabrielle turned her head to watch her daughter.
I sure am.
Bad.
Come here.
Gabrielle held her free hand out and guided the toddler into the circle of her arm.
Let me hug you. Maybe that'll make me feel better.
okay?
Xena felt an iron hand clench around her heart as she gazed at them, seeing the glitter of unshed tears in Gabrielle's eyes as Dory cuddled with her.
You're going to be fine,
she stated firmly.
Let me see if we've got anything useful in here.
She stood up and started her search, pulling aside boxes roughly and dumping their contents into the straw. Gabrielle watched her with quiet compassion and a bone-deep understanding of the emotions that rippled across her partner's tall form and robbed her of composure.
If you've got anything to say about it, I know I will be,
she murmured, then tilted her head as the sound of pounding slacked off from the door.
Maybe they gave up.
Xena had turned and was listening, swiping a grubby hand across her eyes impatiently as she did so.
Doubt it. After all, this...
Her words trailed off as she heard another sound behind the wood. Flames. Her nose twitched as the first hint of smoke reached her. Her eyes went to the door, then to the four corners of the room. Then they dropped to meet Gabrielle's. Her soulmate lifted a hand towards her as she walked over and sat down, taking it. They studied each other seriously for a long stretch of heartbeat before Xena spoke.
Think we've got a real problem here.
Gabrielle nodded.
Looks like it, partner,
she agreed hoarsely. They searched each other's eyes for a while longer, then a faint smile pulled at the barred lips.
You know, I think I'd feel a lot better if you hugged me.
Think so, huh?
The warrior replied softly. Gabrielle nodded and got her wish as Xena gently lifted her up and slid under her back, cradling her against her chest and circling Dory with her other arm. Gabrielle laid her head against her partner's collarbone and spent a moment simply loving her. She felt the light brush of Xena's lips against her head, then the pressure as the warrior rested her cheek in the same spot.
Z?
Are
we going to make it out of here?
Xena was silent for a long while.
I'm going to do my best to get us out of here,
she finally stated.
You could...
All or nothing, the warrior stated flatly.
Dory's just a baby,
Gabrielle whispered.
You could get her out of here.
I'm not leaving you,
Xena replied.
But...
Do you think I could ever look her in the eye again if I left her mother in here?
Gabrielle fell silent, having no answer for that except the truth that they both knew. She laced her fingers with Xena's and lifted their linked hands up, pressing her lips against the scraped knuckles and closing her eyes in silent wishing. Xena listened to the flames outside the door, a growing roar that had already started sending tendrils of smoke past the crates blocking it. There was no way out that way, no matter how fast she could run. Her eyes roamed over the storm room from corner to corner, seeing the solid stone joinings that sealed them in effectively as a tomb.
As a tomb.
Xena glanced down to find Dory watching her with bright, interested eyes. Her jaw muscles bunched, and she squared her shoulders.
Not if I have anything to say about it. Not if.
Gabrielle lay quietly, Dory encircled in her arms as she watched Xena work, then pain inside her head reaching a leveling point, and she was able to simply concentrate on breathing, knowing she couldn't help her soulmate any other way. It started to get very warm inside the room, and if she looked up, her muzzy vision showed her a film of smoke near the roof, wisps already starting to lower toward Xena's dark head as the warrior moved around the room. It was hard to concentrate her thoughts on what Xena was doing. The warrior had scraped all the straw to one side of the room, hard against the wall, and then, breaking open barrels, shoved them against the other side of the room that had disclosed vegetables packed in brine. Xena had taken the brine and doused everything with it. The smell was odd, but not completely unpleasant, more like a breathless day at the seaside than anything else. She had also found a bale of linen blankets and set those aside near where Gabrielle was lying.
Mama?
Gabrielle regarded her daughter, who was being unusually quiet.
Don't like,
Dory complained.
No good here.
I know, honey,
she answered.
Go fly. We'll go find fishies. Go out.
I wish we were outside, too, Gabrielle told her. I wish we were by our lake at home, and you and I were swimming.
Go fishies,
Dory agreed.
I wish we could watch the rocks and see Boo jump off them.
Fun!
The turtle pulled a bit of straw up and regarded it.
We go now?
Go home.
Go fly.
She looked around,
fun.
Far off, Gabriel heard a crash and a dull roar. The smoke seemed to get denser, filled the ceiling faster, and she quietly faced the knowledge that none of them might be going home. Was she ready to die? Gabriel hugged her daughter a little closer and exhaled. How could anyone ever be ready, really? She never thought it was the right time.
Honey, just stay quiet for a while, okay? We'll go somewhere soon, I promise.
She was aware of Xena's back stiffening in reaction.
It'll be someplace nice, I promise. There'll be grass there, and cool ponds, and pretty flowers.
Dory seemed agreeable to this.
We go,
she said.
All of us. Yes.
Gabriel managed to get out.
You and me and Xena. We'll all go together, okay? Good.
The bard couldn't look up, couldn't meet the blue eyes she knew that were looking back at her.
Then we can play games, and I'll tell you stories. How about that? Mama tell good stories.
Dory informed her seriously.
Go now? Not yet, sweetie.
Gabriel stroked the baby's hair gently. Her eyes finally lifted and met her soulmate's.
Soon. We'll go too. Absolutely.
Gabriel pronounced the word carefully, her gaze locked with Xena's.
We don't go anywhere without Boo, right? Yes.
Dory put her arms around Gabriel's neck and gave her a sloppy kiss.
Love Boo. Love Mama.
Xena turned and walked to the bundle of blankets, trying not to let her entire body shiver. She picked them up and opened the ties, then removed several and dropped them in the last barrel of brine, soaking them. It was a marginal plan at best, and she knew it. Dousing everything with the water would hopefully keep it from igniting when the firestorm consumed the door, and wrapping themselves in the soaked blankets might give them a few moments. But then what? Then you're going to die, Xena. Her mind confirmed quietly. You and Gabrielle. And Dory. She swallowed hard, trying to get the lump to go down in her throat. It wasn't the fear of dying that bothered her. After all, she lived with that her entire life. Nor did the idea of all of them being in danger of that scare her. She knew she'd do what she could, then put her partner and their child out when the end was overtaking them, and the gods knew it would probably be over quickly. It was after that happened that was scaring her senseless, making her knees shake and her heart thunder in her ears, even as she worked in silence at what was probably a futile task. She remembered Tartarus, remembered the pain and the unending agony, remembered being so starkly alone in a place where hatred and her own past torments surrounded her. With a shaky breath, she pulled the blankets from the barrel and let them drip a moment. Then she returned to her partner's side and knelt next to her. Squaring her shoulder slightly, she put the wet fabric down, then reached over and put a hand on Gabriel's shoulder, steeling herself for what she had to say next. Gabrielle.
All or nothing.
The bard met her gaze steadfastly.
We all go together.
Xena's eyes shifted to Dory. You promised her flowers and sweet grass.
You think I could ever look into her eyes if I let you go alone to someplace worse?
Gabriel managed a tiny smile as her hands clasped.
Hoisted on your own petard, warrior princess.
Xena merely shook her head a little, then returned a smile with a small one of her own.
We're going to be all right, Xena,
Gabrielle whispered.
As long as we're together.
A breath.
And we will be.
The warrior cupped her cheek gently, then brushed her fingers over Dory's hair.
All right.
She murmured. We get under these blankets and let the first rush of fire go over us. Gabrielle nodded.
Then we take it from there.
Xena said,
if the fire runs out of things to burn, I'll get you both out, down the corridor, same way we came in.
All right.
Gabriel drew in a breath.
We're in your hands.
Xena leaned gracefully over and kissed her, allowing herself a long, lingering moment of quiet passion, before she lifted her head and looked Gabriel right in the eye.
If it doesn't work, I'm in yours.
Tears suddenly appeared and trickled down the bard's cheeks as she nodded mutely. and she pulled Dory towards her as Xena spread the wet blankets out and leaned them down over their bodies, fitting herself over both of them in a slight crouch. A low, muted crackling grew. Suddenly, in the straw around Gabriel's body, a rustling started them. Then the bard yelped as a small body raced across a leg and out from under the blanket.
Guff!
Dory squirmed out from her grasp and took off after it. Dory! Xena cursed, then threw the blankets off and lunged after her daughter, who had come up to the rat just as it reached some boxes shoved up against a far wall.
Get back here!
Guff!
Dory grabbed the disappearing tail and hung on, tugging backwards.
Guff! Come!
Xena hastily freed the animal from Dory's clutches, then picked her up.
Bad girl!
She started to scold her, then paused, cocking her head at the boxes. The rat had disappeared, but where had it gone?
See?
Gabriel cast an anxious eye at the door, which was beginning to crumble. Hang on! Xena put Dory down and started tugging at the boxes, jerking them to one side. The bottom one refused to move and she frowned, then grabbed the edge of it and hauled backwards with all her strength, throwing her weight into the pull. With a sudden crack, the box moved, then tumbled backwards, almost causing the warrior to fall. She regained her balance, however, and peered over it, her nose twitching as a damp, musty scent filtered to it.
Son of a buck, I...
What?
Gabriel struggled to roll over and sit up.
What is it?
A tunnel.
Xena found herself grinning.
A way out of here.
She watched the rat scamper down the tunnel, then turned and raced over to her soulmate, gathering blankets as she went. Xena got the blankets and her family into the tunnel and fastened the end of a wrapped piece of linen around the crosspiece of the big crate she'd pulled aside. Her fingers fumbled in haste as she felt the rumble of the walls from the fire, very aware of Dory's head tucked under her chin. She backed up as felt the blast of heat and pulled, straining her shoulders as she tugged the crate over the end of the tunnel. It creaked, resisting her strength for a second.
Back!
Dory took hold of the end of the linen and pulled on it, as the warrior redoubled her efforts, bracing her face against the sides of the tunnel and arching her back as she hauled. After a breathless moment, a sharp crack sounded, and the crate moved, slamming closed over the tunnel opening. Xena fell back onto the floor of it, with Dory on her chest, as total darkness descended upon them.
Whoa!
The warrior grunted.
She helped you pull it, hussy.
Gabriel murmured weakly, from where she was lying on a hastily constructed litter made from a crate side and two spears.
Sure did.
Xena flipped over and scrambled past her soulmate, the tight confines of the tunnel already pressing on her nerves. She wriggled by where Gabriel was slumped, sucking in her breath in surprise as she felt warm fingers touch her belly. She stopped in mid-motion and reached out, stroking the bard's arm gently.
You okay?
Gabriel continued the contact.
Just wanted to touch you.
Xena sat down in the tunnel, setting Dory down next to her as she folded her long legs awkwardly up.
All right, here's the plan.
She spoke into the darkness. I'm going to tie off the end of those spears around my waist. I'll crawl down the tunnel and just pull you after me.
God, you poor thing.
Gabriel's voice, though weak, held a hint of wry humor in it.
Bet you're glad I got to walk off some of the weight I put on last year before we got here.
Remind me of that tomorrow when I wake up stiff as a board.
Xena chuckled softly.
You're gonna owe me one Hades of a back rub.
You're on,
the bard replied.
Give you the best one ever. I promise.
Xena put a gentle hand on her partner's head, feeling Gabrielle shift a little under her fingers.
Sore?
Yeah.
The brief answer held its own warning. Xena leaned closer.
I'm going to hold you to that promise, she said. So you just relax and let your warrior pony do her job, okay?
She eased ahead of where Gabriel was lying and used what little faint light there was, coming around the edges of the crate, to get Dory into her backpack and tie the rope from Gabriel's litter around her waist.
Boo! Go horsey!
Dory was delighted and completely unfazed by the darkness around them. Xena wrapped a thick piece of blanket around both of her knees, then started forward, feeling her way carefully with one hand. She got to the end of the rope and leaned against it, hearing a soft scrape as the litter started moving after her.
Let me know if it gets too bumpy back there.
Okay.
Gabriel closed her eyes and wrapped her hand around one of the spears, glad of the remaining blankets cushioning her aching body from the hardwood crate. She'd set her mind earlier to deal with the utter crisis of what they'd been going through, but now the crisis had modified her injuries, were starting to overwhelm her again. Her head hurt badly. It was throbbing, and sending jolts that were causing eerily pulsing red flashes across her vision. The pain in her guts had also intensified, and she was beginning to feel chilled, despite the warmth of the walls around her. It was hard to bear, but she knew she had a responsibility to work through it and live, because Xena was giving everything she had to make it possible for all of them. From getting her out of the cell to getting them out of that storeroom, the warrior was doing what she always did, never sparing herself for an instant in pursuit of her all-important goal. She would be sore, Gabrielle smiled faintly to herself, after it was all over, and her body remembered that she spent all this time going beyond her own limits and the bumps and scrapes and the overexertion of her tough muscles. She'd never complain, but Gabrielle had come to know the little signs and signals, the furrowed brow and hesitant yet restless movements. Over the years, she learned what to do to ease her partner's aches and pains. Xena had slowly accepted, then come to appreciate that. Until now, she'd even occasionally ask for it. The cold wind battered Gabrielle's body as she pulled the cloak around her and headed across the courtyard. It was damp, and the storeroom that had threatened Amphipolis since the dawn had now hit, spreading at first sleet, and now snow across the ground. Dory was playing with her cousins, and Gabrielle had decided to leave the warm security of the inn to search out Xena. The warrior had returned from a hunting trip just before lunch, and Gabrielle was carrying a pot of thick venison soup she suspected her partner would appreciate after a long, cold trek. The militia quarters had been empty, so had their cabin. Gabrielle moved towards the one she hadn't yet checked yet, and as she pushed open the door to the barn, her senses told her she found what she was looking for. She entered the barn and shoved the door closed on the wind, pausing inside to shake the snow off her cloak while she looked around. She half expected to find Xena tending the horses, or working one of her many projects, or practicing with her sword. But instead of all that, she spotted a cloaked figure curled up in this hayloft, blue eyes peeking guiltily down at her as she looked up in surprise.
"Hey."
Gabrielle set down the pot down by the brazier, the small iron stove that squatted in a cleared space, wood crackling softly inside it. She climbed up the ladder into the loft and perched on the edge, studying its unusual occupant. Xena had a familiar, small-bound volume tucked in her hand, and she stirred around in the straws as the bard seated herself.
"No, stay there."
She put a hand on Xena's shoulder. Xena cleared her throat.
"I was, lazing around in the hayloft reading,"
Gabrielle supplied, with a teasing grin.
"Don't worry. Your secret is safe with me."
She ruffled Xena's hair with quiet affection, then bent a little closer. There was a tension to Xena's body that she learned over the years to recognize, and her thumb rubbed lightly over the furrow she found in the center of her partner's forehead.
"So what's bothering you?"
For a long time after they met, she wouldn't have dared ask. For a long time, Xena wouldn't have deigned to answer. Now the warrior visibly put aside her natural impulse to brush the question off and released a sigh instead, along with the resigned shrug.
"Cold got me a little out there," Xena admitted. "Thought I'd come in here and get away from it for a while."
The damp cold, Gabrielle realized, which played havoc with the warrior's joints after a lifetime of fighting, and the toll that took on her otherwise sturdy form. If Xena was saying it was bothering her, Gabrielle could only imagine how bad it was.
"Let me see if I can do something for that,"
she said, ruffling Xena's hair once more before she climbed down and walked to the wooden trunk near the back of the stable. Opening the top, she removed the stack of neatly folded cloth and a small tin, then returned to the loft.
"Roll over."
The warrior did, rustling around in the straw. Gabrielle gently pulled aside the edge of Xena's heavy cloak, then unlaced the thick leggings underneath it. She spread some of the herbal liniment in her hands and carefully worked it around Xena's powerful knees, wrapping each one up neatly in warm flannel when she was done, before she snuggled the leggings back around them.
That feels great,"
Xena murmured.
"Yeah, it does."
Gabrielle found herself silently agreeing as she moved up to uncover Xena's shoulders, completely enjoying this total acceptance of her solicitous attention.
"Well, when I'm done with this, I got some nice hot stew to warm you up from the inside," she informed her patient. "How does that sound?"
Sounds like I'm in the best of hands. Xena sighed in relief as the liniment in the warm cloth took effect.
Thanks.
Gabrielle gazed fondly at her.
You know what I think?
What?
I think you could have done this yourself, but you really just loved me coddling you.
For a moment, Xena didn't react. Then her eyebrow quirked, and a very mischievous grin appeared.
You could be right,
she drawled softly.
Is that a problem?
Gabrielle tenderly laced up the front of Xena's shirt, then leaned over and kissed her on the lips.
Anything but.
She would need Gabrielle's touch this time. The bard kept her eyes closed. That meant Gabrielle had to be up for it, right?
Right.
How often has she told Xena she did things just because she thought she could?
Well, now it's your turn, Shepard.
You will survive this, and you will be there for her, and that's all there is to that story. Curiously, the decision made her feel a little better. She convinced herself that her headache was easing, and she concentrated on relaxing her body, taking long, slow breaths that seemed to ease the pain in her guts. The forward motion had steadied to an even vibration. As the warrior crawled forward, and she could hear Dory burbling as she rode along Xena's back. Her child's amazing resilience provided something else for her to focus on. As she marveled silently at Dory's cheerful fearlessness, the entire crisis seeming like a big adventure to her toddler's sensibilities. Her trust in her parents was, naturally, absolute.
Mama?
Right here, honey,
Gabrielle whispered.
Boo is good hussy.
She is, huh?
The bard smiled into darkness. Xena made a whickering sound. Gabrielle snorted in soft laughter.
First pony in the history of the world with lethal combat skills,
the warrior muttered.
Hey, I can make a story about that,
the bard murmured.
Fangtooth, warrior pony. Out making the world safe for cart horses everywhere.
Now it was Xena's turn to snicker.
Mama? Story?
Dory apparently found this interesting. It was going to be a long, slow crawl, Gabrielle realized.
Sure, honey. Which one do you want to hear?
She shifted a little, finding a slightly more comfortable position.
Gabrielle?
No, I'm okay.
The bard correctly interpreted that deepening in tone.
You want to hear the one about Boo, Dory?
Yes!
You have good taste. Okay.
Gabrielle considered.
How about I tell you how Boo beat a giant? You want to hear that?
Boom!
Dory wiggled around in her back.
Go, go, go!
I'll take that as a yes.
Gabrielle composed herself, then started in on the tale. Xena smiled as she plowed stolidly down the tunnel, glad beyond measure for the familiar comfort of her partner's voice surrounding her and distracting her from the close stone walls. The tunnel was about the size of a regular building block, which meant it was just broad enough to clear Xena's shoulders, and high enough for her to crouch upright, giving enough room for Dory to ride on her back. She noticed a number of things about the tunnel. One, it wasn't that dusty, nor was it filled with debris, which indicated to her that it was a fairly regularly used. That was a good thing because, to her mind, it meant it led somewhere useful. She could feel the walls warming slightly on either side of her, and she figured she was getting close to where the fire was raging inside. If she listened, she could hear the creak of stone moving, and far off, timbers collapsing in another part of the prison. If enough timbers came down, it could pull the walls with it, but she tried not to think about that because it meant tons of rock coming down on top of them. And Xena firmly believed once, for that experience was way more than enough for a lifetime. Crawling forward wasn't too uncomfortable, and the smooth stone allowed Gabrielle's palate to slide relatively easily. Things could be worse. Xena started constructing a mental map of the prison, based on a rapid entry as she tried to figure out where the tunnel might lead them. So far, it paralleled the cells, she roughly figured. Inside the wall, just opposite. Curiously, Xena lifted her left hand up and felt along the wall to the side. The stone was solid for several feet, then she felt a crack in it.
Hey, see?
Gabrielle interrupted her tale.
Those cells are down far enough to be okay, right?
She asked.
I mean, Homer's going to be okay, isn't he? You can come back and get him once we're out of here.
The cells had been mostly stone walls, with small wooden lattices between them. The fire started in Gabrielle's and spread upward.
I don't know,
she answered honestly, then waited, hearing volumes in the utter silence from her soulmate. Gabrielle knew what Xena's priorities were. Mentally, Xena counted, and used her excellent sense of structure to pinpoint her location within the large stone building.
"See what I can do,"
she fondly said, crawling a little faster towards the faint lessening in the darkness she could detect far ahead. It was now getting a lot warmer. Xena could feel the heat against her palms, and she broke out in a sweat. Her eyes blinked droplets of it that stung as they hit. Through the stone, she could hear the crackling roar of the flames. Ahead of her, she could see a metal grill in the side of the tunnel, through which firelight was flicking, sending shadows down the inside and across the floor. As she watched, licks of fire itself emerged between the grill, tasting the air in the tunnel and bringing with it a sharp, harsh scent.
"Gonna get warm,"
Xena warned Gabrielle.
"I know,"
the bard replied, drawing in an audibly shaky breath. She shifted on the pallet and painfully rolled over onto her side, putting as much space between her and the fire as possible. Xena paused, feeling the heat increase rapidly. She eyed the floor of the tunnel and realized it was darkening from the fire already around the grate.
"Hang on,"
she called back over her shoulder.
"Need to speed up here. It's too hot."
"Faster the better."
Gabrielle gripped the two poles resolutely and closed her eyes. Old nightmares surfaced, and she shut it aside the conviction she could hear, still, Dayhawk's laughter in the raging fire.
"Stop it. Just forget that."
The flames leaped up to the grate, blocking their path.
"Never easy,"
the warrior sighed under her breath. She turned and pulled up the hood on Dory's backpack, much to the toddler's displeasure.
"Dory, stop that."
She evaded the tiny hands that resisted her actions.
"Dory!"
"No!"
Dory wailed.
"Mama!"
"Do what Boo says, Dory."
Gabrielle gritted her teeth.
"Don't argue with her."
She could hear the flames getting closer, the roar filling the tunnel. Chills chased up and down her spine, and she clamped her jaw shut to keep her teeth from chattering.
"You know."
"Don't say it,"
the bard growled.
"Just get us out of here, okay?"
Her temper spilled over.
"Fast!"
Xena glanced behind her, then she rose up over her knees into a crouch and lunged forward, propelling herself with a shove of her boots against the ground and reaching out with both hands. She impacted the hot stone and felt the jolt of pain, but it was only momentary as she got her boots under her and shot forward again, straight for the flames. She steeled herself and hit the grate just before the flames with her palms, then leaped again, plunging straight through the fire. It flowed over her body with a sensation of almost pain, her motion too fast for it to catch her clothing on fire. She drew her knees up quickly as she landed past the grate and shot forward as fast as she could, pulling Gabrielle's pallet behind her. For a split second, the light vanished as the crate bottom covered the grate. Then it flared up again as they flashed past and on down the tunnel. Xena kept moving until the surface under her had cooled again before she paused and sat down to catch her breath.
"Damn.
Go, go, go!"
Dory wiggled.
"Boo, too hot!"
She started to tug her flap loose.
"Shh, in a minute,"
the warrior told her.
"You're right, Gabrielle."
The bard was clutching the spears on either side, her eyes tightly shut.
"Gab?"
Xena put a hand on her shoulder, her voice deepening concern. She felt a shivering under her touch and scrambled closer, taking hold of her and pulling her over.
"Hey!"
Gabrielle's hands captured hers, and slowly, the miscreant eyes opened, reflecting the firelight just past.
"I'm all right,"
she got out hoarsely.
"I just..."
She took a steadying breath.
"The fire. I just don't...
The fire."
The warrior frowned in confusion, then realization hit her, and Xena simply gathered Gabrielle up in her arms and hugged her silently, pulling her body off the pallet and into her lap.
"Mama?"
Dory got the flap off her head and peered over Xena's shoulder.
"Shh."
Xena touched the baby's head with her own.
"Mama's okay. I got her."
Maybe it was all the bare skin. Gabrielle felt her body relax as her limbs tangled with her partner's, and she was surrounded by Xena's distinctive presence. Under her fingers, her partner's ribs expanded strongly, and she burrowed into the embrace with a sense of utter relief. Safe. As long as she was in Xena's arms, nothing could hurt her. Nothing.
"I got you,"
Xena whispered again, stroking her cheek with a thumb.
"It's okay."
Gabrielle rested there until her heartbeat slowed. Then she sniffled a little and released a long breath.
Sorry.
She started to push away.
We have to get going. I didn't mean to.
Hey. Xena refused to release her. You're starting to sound like me. Stop it.
The bard fell back against Xena's chest, wishing she could just stay there. She waited for the chills to subside, and then she felt her composure steadying again after a few minutes.
Thanks.
She tilted her head up.
I'm all right.
Grave blue eyes studied her.
Sure.
Gabrielle shrugged one shoulder and bestowed a tiny, wry smile on her partner.
Considering everything, yeah,
she said.
Are you okay?
Xena examined the edge of her skimpy wrap, now sadly soiled and singed.
A little toasty, but other than that, I think I'm fine.
She peered over her shoulder.
You okay, Shorty?
Want cookies?
Joy frowned.
Too hot. Bad smell.
Anything else?
The warrior inquired.
Back.
I think that means get moving.
Gabrielle let her eyes fall to the dimly seen tattoo just above Xena's heart. The sight of the symbol made her smile, and she lifted a finger to trace it.
Xena, would you do something for me when we get out of here?
Sure.
The warrior gazed down at the hand moving over her skin.
What?
I want you to put a tattoo on me,
the bard said dreamily.
I want a little bird, like you and Tori have, on my back.
Xena studied her in concern, seeing the glazed look in her partner's eyes.
Sure,
she agreed slowly.
If you want me to.
I do.
Okay.
Xena gently helped her back onto the pallet, wincing at the tenderness in the palms of her hands from the hot stone.
Just lay down, and we'll be out of here before you know it.
Gabrielle settled down on the blankets and let her eyes close as she felt Xena tuck the edges of the fabric around her. She was exhausted after the raking fear, and it was hard to think straight. Easier just to lay quietly and get some rest. The sounds around her faded out a little, though they did not disappear entirely. She was vaguely aware of motion starting again, pulling her further from the heat and the sound of the flames and closer to safety. The next grate Xena could see was dark, and her nose already detected the foul smell from it. She came even to it and peered through, seeing the tops of cells extending before her. As she watched, several guards ran through the dungeon, their voices strained as they shouted orders about the fire. Two of them carried buckets, the third a sack of sand, and all three were soot-covered. Xena leaned over and checked the dozing Gabrielle, putting her fingers over the bard's pulse point as she watched the rise and fall of her chest. The bard's skin was heated, and her heart was beating a little faster than normal. Xena chewed her lip, then untied the rope around her belly and faced the grid. She examined the edges, then set her boots against it, and with a double kick, knocked it halfway out of the wall. The rattle of broken stone from the edge fell on the other side, followed by a huge clang as a second kick knocked the grate completely out. Xena slipped out from the tunnel and stood, sparing a bare instant to stretch her long frame out from its cramping before she reached over to the last cell in the room, dropping to her knees to peer inside.
Homer!
She heard a gasp.
Listen, you've got one chance here, so don't foul it up.
With that, Xena stood and unhooked the big trap door, letting it swing inside. Then she lifted the roughly made ladder, hung on wooden pegs nearby, and lowered it inside until it hit bottom.
Get moving.
She waited to feel the vibration of someone climbing up, and then she turned and raced back towards the tunnel.
Hey, you there, if you're letting a body loose, how about us then?
Xena paused, recognizing the voice. She peered down through the nearest trapdoor to see their friend from the road looking up at her.
Only one ladder.
She unhooked the trap.
But maybe you'll get lucky.
She let the door swing open, then continued on, slipping halfway back into the tunnel and pulling Gabrielle's pallet over. Would it be faster to stay inside, or try her luck breaking out through the guards? She put her hand on Gabrielle's head, and decided she had enough crawling.
Okay, Dory, you get to ride in front now.
She shifted the taller round to rest below her chin. Then she carefully lifted Gabrielle up and settled her across her shoulders again. That, at least, freed her sore arm. Xena drew her weapon and started towards the door with determined purpose. She put a free hand on the latch and set her boot next to the door, ready to pit her strength against the lock. To her surprise, though, when she worked the mechanism, the door opened willingly, with a creak of its hinges.
"Don't look that gift Santaria in the ass,"
she muttered under her breath, as she left the dungeon room and started up the stone steps, two at a time despite her burden. All the bards joking aside, Xena found it easy to handle her weight, and always had despite the fact that Gabrielle's compactly muscle form was definitely heavier than it looked. She got to the top of the stairs and glanced around, surprised to find the upper guard room empty. When she plowed through here the first time, it had been full of armed men, most of whom had leaped to their feet in an attempt to stop her. She hadn't let them. But now it was empty, chairs overturned and tables in scattered disarray. What seemed strangest to Xena, weapons left lying by bunks and on the floor. Her brow creasing, she made her way through the room and out the open front door, where a wide corridor led to the large, guarded entryway she first come in by. Here was where she expected the most trouble. Xena shifted her grip on her sword and curled an arm over Gabrielle's limp body, gathering both her strength and her ferociousness, intent on powering her way through whatever opposition she found at the end of the hall. She made her way along the corridor, then cocked her head as she heard a roar of sounds, bits and pieces of which resolved into curses and oaths, along with the sound of metal striking wood. The door at the end of the corridor was, again, open, and she rarely peeked through, ready to repulse any attack. There were 10 wide steps that led up to the entry, and she made her way silently up them, her fingers flexing on the leather-wrapped sword hilt as her head topped the rise and she could see into the room. She stopped, dumbfounded. The room was in total chaos. All of the guards were on the far end, beating fruitlessly against the huge outer doors with anything they could find. Frustration fairly oozed from them, and the atmosphere in the room was seething with anger. Xena climbed into the room and started across it. She was halfway there before one of the men spotted her and turned, pointing a spear right at her head.
"There she is! There's the bastard! Let's kill her and throw her out the window!"
Xena stopped short. Her eyes flicked over the room, counting her adversaries. There were around 2 dozen men, and as her presence registered, they all broke off their attack on the door and headed in her direction. Xena knew she didn't have a chance carrying her family. She had to make a choice of putting them down, putting them both at the mercy of the soldiers, or doing something that came very unnaturally to her. The first man reached her, and she twirled her sword in her hand. Then she met his furious thrust with a neat parry and kicked him backwards, right into half a dozen of his peers.
"All right, hold it!"
She let out a fierce bellow.
"Unless you're all looking to die here!"
A ring of faces, red and angry, surrounded her.
"Gonna do that anyway, thanks to you!"
a tall, rare-haired man said.
"So what's the difference?"
He rushed at her, lifting a mace and swinging it at her head. Xena eased to one side in one fluid motion, and then got him with a backswing as he passed, slamming him to the back of the head with her sword flat. He lunged forward and went headlong into the wall, which he slid down limply.
"You'll die sooner if I do it."
She turned and caught the next closest man with her with a short, chopping jab, her fist wrapped around her hilt and lending her blow weight enough to snap his head back and drop him in his tracks. And then she attacked them. She danced closer, using only her sword and her sense of balance to gauge the closest ring of faces, disarming 3 of their weapons in one movement, and whirling to roundhouse kick 2 more back over there to their mates.
"You ready to listen now?"
she taunted him.
"Or should I keep going?"
It was a close thing. They were all still angry, but the oldest one, a man in the uniform of an Athenian officer, stepped forward and held his hand up. He had close-cropped dark hair, with light silvering of gray, and a neatly trimmed beard that outlined an intelligent, rugged face.
"Hold!"
he spoke firmly.
"By the gods, we've got enough troubles!"
Xena remained alert, her sword held slightly out from her body, and her stance balanced. The ring rustled for a moment, then shoulders dropped and the men turned, muttering in disgust as they faced the door again.
"What happened?"
the warrior asked the older man, who remained facing her.
"We're locked in here, and the damn place is on fire,"
the man told her in clipped tones.
"All of us sacrificed to make sure you never came out."
Xena stared at the door, then at him.
"Locked? From the outside, and blockaded, probably with a loaded wagon,"
the man agreed grimly.
"We can't get water to put the fire out. Can't get supplies. Can't get out of here. We're dead already,"
he told her.
"And so are you."
Xena slowly released a breath, aware of footsteps behind her. She half turned to see Homer and some of the other prisoners piling up the stairs, then turned back to the guard cabin.
Tell you what, she said. Let's work together, and maybe none of us have to die.
The man's dark brown eyes studied her for a long instant. Then he nodded briefly.
These youngsters only know what they've seen of you here, Xena, he said. But I was in Thessaly during the Civil War.
A faint, if grudging smile crossed his lips.
And I know a bit different.
Xena let her lips tense in return. All right, she exhaled. Homer, come here. The bar limped over to her, his ragged, filthy clothing in tatters.
Thanks for getting us out.
His eyes flicked to the door.
I think.
Xena led him over to the side of the room and knelt, easing Gabrielle off his shoulders and onto a padding of straw near the wall.
Watch her, she said simply. I don't know how badly she's hurt. I will.
Homer winced as he got a good look at the welt across the bard's face.
Can you get us out of here?
Xena let her knuckles lightly brush his soulmate's cheeks.
She needs to get out of here. I'll find a way.
She said, then stood and walked away, shifting Dory's backpack once again. Homer watched her go, the warrior's tall, half-naked form covered in cuts and bruises, and yet noble in its classic lines.
So that's Xena,
he mused.
Kid. Huh.
Gabrielle's muzzy voice drifted up.
Can I pick him? Or what?
Homer glanced down, to see half-open green eyes regarding him.
She's incredible,
he said.
Just like you are.
He reached over and took the bard's hand in his own.
It's been a long time. Not near the way I hope to meet you again, old friend.
Don't worry,
Gabrielle whispered.
It's all gonna be fine.
Homer glanced behind him, where the first wisps of smoke were spiraling up the steps. Then he looked at the firmly barred door, built to withstand the fiercest of attacks. Then his eyes dropped to Gabrielle's face, which half turned, and the pale eyes that found Xena and were watching the warrior in utter belief.
I bet we are,
he replied with a sigh of wonder.
And what a tale it would make.
To be continued.
Well, that concludes the 94th episode of XNU, and that is chapter 10, almost all of it, three-quarters of it, of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Please make sure you check out her website at www.merewolf.com, and as usual, I always have a link on my show notes for you. I need for people to start sending in some stories, one or two page that you write down, anything, or whether it be Xena, whether it be Uber for the 100th episode. I've gotten quite a few recipes, so that's going to be a really good thing, the recipe corner up and running. But I need a story, any stories that you can think of that, like I said, it could be any, whether it's TV-related, something that you've come up with, or something even Xena-related, it doesn't matter. But one or two pages would be great so that we could have that for the 100th episode. And, yeah, you can have your story read up on the show. And, of course, send in any recipes, if you do have any, to xena.uber@gmail.com. So don't forget to start working on those stories. Also, if you have any book or movie reviews or recommendations or suggestions for the show, if you have an announcement or a dedication you'd like to have for the show, please send me an email. As usual, I hope everyone takes care of themselves. So until the next episode, take care and enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.